Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Strain Forward Podcast. Today's guest is actually a new friend of mine. His name's John. He is he is a friend of mine, or we got connected through a guy that I work at the restaurant. The guy at the restaurant, his name's Marcus, has said a ton of great things about John. And just, I think today's podcast is going to be really valuable for you guys and just giving insight into overcoming hard things, giving insight into not comparing yourself to other people, giving insight into just constantly doing just this relentless drive of being better. And just when you're down, you get up. And so I know John's going to drop the hammer on you guys. I'm really excited for this. So without further ado, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself, your athletic background, just where you're at in life. Let the people know who you are.
Yes, sir. Nice to meet you too, brother. Marcus is the man. And I hope one day we'll have Marcus on here, or we'll have some kind of conversation that for the masses. He is a pure soul and has gotten out of a lot of been through a lot of interesting places as well. He's got a heck of a perspective. Yeah. I'm John Martin. I am a tennis coach for the past 17 years. I also have trained clients. I was NASM certified 5 or 6 years ago, and have been strength training different people under the table, or now, oh, you know, for a while over the table since, yeah, I was in high school writing the programs out with my buddies. Like, I'm pretty sure you have. I mean, I've.
I
look at your IG. I know you have the notebook.
Yeah, like, 100%.
I know you were in school. I know you were in school, you know, typing down, you know, 1A, 1B, 1C. Like, I was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm a former junior tennis player, nationally ranked, whatever, what have you. I was no world superstar, but I trained with a lot of them over in Stone Mountain Tennis Center at the Olympic Tennis Center, where they had the 96 Olympics.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah. I trained at an international tennis academy. We had a bunch of unreal people there, and that's kind of where I learned the majority of my life lessons, as a JIT, as a youth.
Yeah.
I'm 34. I live in Atlanta. Live in Petrie, or I, you know, we all say we live in Atlanta. I live in Petrie Corners. Like, yeah. You know, we're as close to Atlanta. That's as close as I get. But
closest I
want to
get.
Yeah, true. Very true. You know, we and if the funny thing is, I bet we could deep dive. We've also been to Atlanta too. That the stories will take you there. I'm pretty sure Kyle and I have friends in every kind of place, in the country clubs and people, you know, you're sending money on the books to. So it's just, but yeah, I've also had a job working in a very niche field, nutrition, weight cut and rehydration, for some fighters in the UFC and in those minor leagues, which have been, to me, they don't feel like minor leagues anymore, but PFL, bare knuckle, boxing, Bellator. And so I've had two or three pretty interesting jobs in my life. And me and Kyle's very good friend Marcus connected us, and I feel like we have a lot of overlap. I feel like we've gotten out of a lot of caves through the grace of God and the grace of our friends and our forgiven families. And I've taken a look at your Instagram over the last few months, and I feel like a lot of stuff resonates with me.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I appreciate you having me on, brother.
Yeah. So why don't you walk us through your tennis experience? Like, what? So you got into it at a really young age, I'm assuming.
And then not as young as those top kids are at it at 5 and 6. I was banging my racket on the ground at 5 or 6. Maybe 9 or 10. Or 10, I stopped playing travel baseball, and same, you know, like every shorter white kid playing playing AAU basketball. We played till 7th or 8th grade, and then we realized what's up. If you're not Christian McCaffrey or like Jason Williams, it's game over. You can't dunk. You're in 8th grade.
Yeah. You're out, dude. It's not gonna work.
Yeah. So I started. I started playing tennis just locally, and I was playing with my dad. Like, my dad. My dad's 83 now. So at the time, he would have been 60. My 60-year-old dad was nearing retirement age, and he would just take me out on the tennis court, and you know, just wanted to hit with me, and I got into it. I played a tournament or two, went and watched some pros play locally at the, I guess they call it the Atlanta Open now. And I saw, you know, all these tennis players with ball boys getting attention and ball kids, whatever, and the umpire and the crowds and all that. And I went, oh, I want to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and for those of you out there listening who are, I mean, for lack of a better word, ADHD or very high performing people who can't, who get bored easily. Yeah. Tennis is not a bad sport for y'all because it's chaotic. There's always something going on. You know, you can be on a team, but when you're playing, it is just you.
Yeah, you got to be focused.
There's not a lot of breaks. You know, it'll keep you present, and that's what it's done for me.
So were you great at it right out of the gate? Well, I guess that's a loaded question. No one's great at it out of the gate.
That's a good question. No, but you know, I know what you mean because I didn't know what you mean earlier on, but now that I've taught, there's some kids that. You are clearly athletic, and there's some kids who don't make contact with the ball for 6 months. Yeah. So I used to think I was the scrub amongst all the people, but then I realized, no, you're at the bottom of the top. Like, right. Yeah, there you go. All right. I was pretty good. By the time I played a year of tennis, I was number one in the state, but they had different levels to it. They had two or three different levels to each age division. So I'm number one in the lower and middle level. So I thought that was pretty good. But then you move up to the higher and you go, whoa.
Dude, it is crazy. I tell this to people all the time. It is crazy the difference between, like, if you were to take the top 20 athletes in the world, like 1 through 20, the difference between 20 and 1, even at that level,
crazy.
It's astronomical. Like, crazy. The difference. It's crazy.
Crazy. And in tennis, not in junior, but in pro tennis, it's one of the few sports where, okay, yeah, the difference in the top forever in the top three and the, you know, everyone else was huge. But anyone else, Kyle, outside those top three, there's this much difference in the top 20. It's like this in tennis. It's just a little bit of, that's what makes that sport crazy.
Yeah.
Because everywhere else, it's still obvious with your top three guys, but those, I mean, I now know. And anyone can relate to me who's played competitive sports for a while. If you truly, you know, trained your hardest, I know where I stand. Like, there's no lying. There's no, if I had, too bad. Like,
yeah.
No, I woke up and I ain't good enough. Like, I had the same options every day. I know at my best, I can hang with these guys, and at my best, I'm getting waxed by this guy. It ain't happening, you know? And that's kind of it's exciting, but it's also daunting as a kid. You know, you there is no hiding,
yeah.
And all the other kids know,
yeah. And especially a sport that's one on one like that. Like, there's nothing more humbling than when you're out there by yourself and it's just not going your way, and you can't do anything but just keep playing.
It made me a better person as a kid. It made me humble. And another sport I think that's like that. That's a little. It's more. And not violent just physically, but it's more violent. It could come mentally as well. In any kind of mixed martial arts or boxing, you always know where you stand.
Yeah.
There is no lying. Yep. Like, what sports did you play growing? Or let me rephrase. I'm sure you played most everything. But what were your passions?
I was football and track.
Oh, so so I didn't take the Letterman in high school because I chose to play high school tennis my last year. They're getting their went in the classroom and said, please play for our team. You know, please. And my coach was like, don't. It's a waste of time. Like, just train. And I finally did. I'm glad I did because it involved me with the school. Like, I it was good.
Yeah.
It wasn't just me and my nerdy friends anymore, who I loved. I still love my friends. I got the same friends I've had since I was 11.
That's
but
nice.
I play. I didn't take the Letterman because I'm like, I'm not wearing the tennis Letterman. If I played your sports, I would have taken the Letterman. I would. Oh, football team? Yeah.
Yeah, football, track, like some of those sports get like a.
Pippins in my locker Friday? Yeah.
The pep rallies, the whole thing, dude.
For sure. Hey, what's your name? Oh, I'm Kyle. I play football at. Boom.
Tagline. Yeah, drop the mic.
Yeah, no, dead make high school. You know, high school still sucks for everyone. Don't kid yourselves, y'all. The guy you thought loved high school, it sucked for him. It just sucked less. He was still, you know,
Yeah, that's actually a great segue. Like, let's dive into that a little bit because, okay. You know, we were talking beforehand, like, a lot of people can look at someone like me or someone like yourself who's very athletic, we'll say good-looking to an extent. Like,
I'll take it, bro. I need to get this. I had the stash going 2 weeks ago. I'm working on it. I gotta grow that out.
Dude, the stash is going to come back.
People have told me that I'm not a thumb with eyes, and I imagine you're the same way, and we'll take that.
Yeah, and so people can look at that and be like, well, they've probably never gone through anything hard. You know, they've never struggled, and I don't want to blow up the thing you've been through as like the worst thing ever.
43 deaths. See my highlight. Like,
right? Yeah. There's always someone who's gone through something harder or is going through something harder. But
for sure,
it's very apparent that, you know, we can kind of be looked at, and I think it's important for people to realize that like everyone is going through something hard. So I don't know. Maybe would you be willing to share just some of your downs, like where you felt so doubtful, down about yourself, and you had to overcome some way.
I don't know if you've ever listened to the Team Never Quit podcast, but I listened to that. It's they've got Marcus Luttrell, the guy from, he's not just the guy, but the Lone Survivor, yes. Lone Survivor, and a couple of these other Navy SEALs, and they have, you know, it's they get these military guys to talk about their may never quit moment. Like that's the jux of their whole podcast. This, but it's important. I think I would say my main thing overcoming was transitioning from tennis, from playing a sport that took 24/7 of my life to then transitioning into, you know, being what I viewed as regular, like not obsessing over trying to win all the time.
Yeah.
And for you, I mean, as it relates in my, conditioning, my strength and conditioning. I used to go to the gym and it's life or death. I'm getting this workout done in 44 minutes and we're doing everything and I'm yelling at myself in the YMCA. People think I'm nuts. Yeah. It's going crazy. And you get to a point where you go, oh, I'm hurt today. Or I slept for 3 hours for whatever reason. Took my caffeine too late, ate too late, girl, whatever your problem.
Yeah.
And I don't need to work out today. Like maybe I need to, you know, just go in and do A or B.
Sure.
And that was for us, and I'm assure you that's a tough, like it took a lot of people to get me to get to making this a lifestyle, being physically fit and doing it for my health.
Yeah.
Mental health. Like that's for any ex, and it's weird saying ex-athlete, because to me, when I say ex-athlete, it's like, oh, you played in the NFL. Like, right. Now, you know, y'all know what we mean. Like,
yes. When you pursue something for so long, so relentlessly, so competitively, and then all of a sudden, you have to switch, like what you're saying, that mindset to where now, like, it's not do or die. Like, it is literally like, I'm doing it for longevity, for health, for
enjoyment. Your heart was beating this way, Kyle, every day.
Dude.
And now it's beating this. That's clinical depression. Like, yes. no matter what y'all say, like if that's happening for some months, that is so. And I mean, there, as you know, the number one thing is community. And when I say community, I don't just mean, you know, just your family. But guys, whoever's listening to this, I promise you. Like even I found I had to go through a certain path to find out Kyle existed, yeah. You know, Marcus, all this. There are more people like all of us than you think. And when I say like all of us, I don't mean, oh, you know, I'm special just like everyone else. I mean, like there are more people with our inside jokes, our experiences. There are more people who were driving in, you know, were in their Uber earlier this morning and thought about rolling out of the car than you think. Yeah. Like. Those people are like, you'd have to really look in their eyes to know. So just remember that there are more people been through the specific things you've been through.
Yeah.
There may not be a ton, but there are more. Yeah. I've seen them. I thought the stuff I went through was only, you may have gone through this, but it wasn't the exact, come on. There are people who have been through virtually. I mean, like you just have to. Get in those rooms, and the only way I got in these rooms was by doing what I'm doing right now, being the absolute heck out of myself.
Yeah, Yeah. So tell me. So man, so how? This might be a. I don't know if you want.
No, it's all. I'll put it on the table. I got it.
How? Share with people like how dark did it get for you, man? Like so when you were making those transitions and you were going through stuff like. You know, how challenging was it
for
you?
I mean, my entire life, I felt like an entire life goal I had, which was to play, either play Division I college tennis and be a, be not, because who's a household name in college tennis? It's getting bigger now, but just be known at the top of that community or play professionally. I felt like it was an incomplete goal. I did not get a certain amount of ATP points, which is the top tennis league. You know, I did not play the four slams, the four grand slams, the US Open, Wimbledon, French Open, Australian Open. I didn't go and play at Stanford or UCLA. I used to have a UCLA cap and want to go there. You know, I had offers from smaller schools, this and this, but I went, uh-uh. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm supposed to want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I set that goal. No one else told me to do that. But Rich. That was a goal. And reconciling that is a thing. Feeling like you didn't finish this massive moment in your life. And when in reality, I look back and I realize, oh, I just got to a point where I actually didn't want to keep doing it. I just want to do something else.
Interesting. So you kind of got, did you kind of get burnt out?
When you get to a certain age with injuries and all it takes to train and play, you know, 6 to 10 hours a day, a little bit, unless you have a certain setup to keep a girlfriend, to see your buddies, you're never doing it. And that wasn't the end all be all for me. But after a decade, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
people realize how much like sacrifice it really is. Like you don't see, like you don't do things.
And that's why when it's weird, like when I hear people being like, whenever the loudest voices I hear for pro athletes, and I'm not saying, again, we know pro athletes are selfish. Like I was super selfish doing that. And I was nowhere near, I mean, like not near the upper echelon of the pros, but like every day and, you know, 6, 7 AM till, and that's, if you're not Kobe was 4, yeah. 4 AM, but 6, 7 AM to 6, 7 PM from when you're 11 years old and till you're done.
Yeah. You just go.
You have to. And that's the thing. Like if you've done that, those skills can translate into what you do now, which I'm, you know, as an entrepreneur, as a trainer, as a podcast host, I'm sure you know, I mean, did you take a break? Like, did you, after the 6 a.m. workouts and all that, did you have some years where you were just sleeping in?
Well,
I don't know how your life went. Like, what?
Yeah, so when I graduated college, so when I stopped playing sports in college, I did it for 2 years, and then I decided I wanted to pursue CrossFit. Once I started pursuing CrossFit, I've done that literally every single day since.
Dude, that's how you know. That is like, bro, that is to your soul. That redlining that you have found, because I did CrossFit as well. I didn't stay at a box for years and all that, but I definitely... A lot of ex-athletes, you need that.
You need it.
And that community's pretty, look, people do all this making fun of, that community is dope. Yes. And I, you know, people go, I think the CrossFit community is sick. And I think you have to get to a certain level for people to even be critical. Like,
yeah. And the only downside, well, it's a whole rabbit hole for CrossFit. The downside to, you probably understand. Like, you could be a professional CrossFitter and not be getting paid a lot of money.
I'm no historian. Rich Froning, all these people. I don't care what he made. It should have been times. Dan Bailey, like guys. Those of y'all who work out, who powerlift, go clean 225 and 275, and go do that for like 4 sets of 50 after you did that. Like. For pull-ups, what they did is insane.
Insane, yeah. And the only way you make money in that sport is through social media. And social media is draining as well. Like, it's just constant.
Bro, can you imagine? And you see these people who do make money and have, like,
you know, if people we've dated, we, you know, you, there's always a girl. If you, I don't care how profound the girl is, they even if they aren't on social media, they're aware of someone on social media who's an influencer who's talking about these brands and going through their life. That is, for the rest of us, like that is a tough existence.
Dude,
hey, do this thing that's inherently super narcissistic, and then go be a good person.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a ton, of, you know, why behind it, like for me, there's some why behind this, because otherwise I'll get lost in the rabbit hole.
Yeah, dude, and that's actually so. It's funny you're talking about that, because that's been a balance for me as I've pursued social media. It's like it can definitely be very, like you said, you can catch yourself being a little narcissistic, and so you have to always like go back to the why and make it like you, like just like you said, make it about being comfortable.
For the longest time, I never posted anything other than, again, if I in my 20s, if it was an anniversary with a girlfriend or some somewhat seminal moment that I thought my buddies wouldn't just destroy me for, because I, you know, if you've got the right kind of friends, for what most of them are like, no one cares, shut up, go make I love you. They talk shit to your face and say nice things behind your back, and now my friends, if I'm in the gym and I hit 315 for two, like my friends are like, we hit 365 last year. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, what? Oh, you ran a 7-minute mile. That's cute. Go hard. Right. And later they're like, hey, by the way, I know you ran a great mile. That's good. But like, you know, don't take taking. Remember, Kyle, do you remember when taking a video in the gym was like your whole family came to watch you hit 225?
Dude,
at the Y.
Oh my gosh, I remember. Like,
and now I'm similar. But you've got that authentic. Like you can tell. You can tell when you do your videos. Like I'm pretty sure you had to be cajoled into doing them at like back in the day. Like, Kyle, people need to hear this, and you're like, no.
That's I hated it, dude. I hated it, bro. Yeah, it wasn't until recently when I realized I wanted to try and start a business. Okay.
I'm gonna Marcus's dad. Marcus and his dad were the two ones that got me. They were on me for a year in the like at the gym, 11 p.m. in the parking lot. Stop. I will buy you a mic stand. Take these. I'm like, oh, dude. Like my tennis coaches. You know, if you know, you know. If you don't know they exist, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
You don't. You know. They don't, and even them, they're all on social media now too, and they're killing it. Yes. But I know they hate it. They're 50, you know.
It's a grind. I don't want to say it's a necessary evil, but it is. It's a tool, and it can be used for good. And if you utilize it the right way, it can be really great. But you got to balance it correctly.
Don't get me wrong. We all want to have had the path in those decisions where we were insert. One, you know, schools 1 through 5 that everyone knows, and then you could put me on Google. Played number one at Harvard. Had a 3.8. Okay, cool. I'm slotted. I don't have to do this. But guess what, guys? Tom Brady wants to affect more people and wants more money, so he's on there. Everyone knows who Tom Brady is. He's on social media. Yeah. He thinks it's important to go, hey guys. So there's something to this community thing.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's an amazing.
That's him. LeBron. LeBron shouldn't have to do that.
He's there.
He's there. Yep. He needs the community. And if anyone takes anything from this one today, it's community, guys. Like I'm getting connected with Kyle. And it's a huge thing. Like having people, I don't know about you, but I feel like my mission in life, my 20s were kind of for figuring out what it was. And now I'm trying. We're getting the how, Kyle. We're getting the, and it's life is not linear, you know.
Dude, yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, that's one thing I had. That was the hardest thing for me to learn in my fitness journey when I first started. Because when I first started improving, it was like this. My trajectory was just I was crushing.
Damn.
It. And then it was like something happened, and I felt like I went downhill. Like,
oh, Kyle, you get hurt
weeks all the time. I didn't want to train, and so then I went downhill. But I kept
training. You overtrained, you got sick, but you're not. But before, when you would still go, you're like, oh, am I a wiener? Like, am I not tough? Like, dude. then something happens with the family, then your money, then you know all your girl, yeah, all that.
And then it was like, okay, And fortunately, I kept training through it because I was like, I was so driven for the goal. So I kept training and stuff or doing what I could, and then began the process of learning how to like do this as a lifestyle rather than just like an end all be all.
Guys,
I realized it is so not linear. You're just going to go in circles moving forward over time, and it's just really hard.
And what Kyle's talking about, guys, is this. I'll give my 2 cents with diet. When I first started learning from, and God bless him, love you, brother, George Lockhart, my first MMA coach, who's was the former nutritionist. If y'all know these names, you should on social media now. Conor McGregor, John Jones, Tyson Fury, the boxer.
Oh yeah,
in the fitness or in the entertainment world, his partner at the time was lived with Demi Lovato and helped her with her eating stuff. We had a bunch. Our other guys did Jake Paul. They were Jake Paul and Logan Paul in Puerto Rico. But George taught me, like, at the highest level, you need to make these proper decisions. But if I messed up, if I was supposed to eat 7 ounces of rice with 0.5 ounces of salmon when I first start weighing this out, and I get it wrong or I do it an hour later, I go, I got to restart the whole thing. And George's like, no. You walk off the path, walk back on, just wander back on. It's not the end of the world. No. It's not because I messed that up. No one cares but you. And it's just, it's a, you know, we're used to people caring.
Yeah, that's a very, very profound way to look at it because, yeah, the same thing happens with people who do 75 hard. And I'm not a huge fan of 75 hard because I think it promotes this, like, do it for a time and then go back to what you were. I don't really like that. But so many people I've seen will do 75 hard. They'll miss a day where they drank half a gallon and not a full gallon of water. And they'll just start the whole thing over.
Guys, did 68 hard. Or the big number, but 71 hard. Like, that's still... What is that on the test? What's 71 out of 75?
I mean, I'll take that all day long. I'll take 71 out of 100.
Bro, listen, passing. C's get degrees, baby.
That's it.
Let's get it. And I view that, and again, whoever's watching this, don't come for me. I view that as the same way as pickleball. Like, pickleball, for me, I'm a tennis. I grew up playing tennis. I love playing racket sports. I'm not dying to play, even though my friends play it and they love it. I'm like, I want people to play more tennis and move around the court more. But guess what? It's the best thing ever still. Why? Because people are getting out there and connecting and moving and having fun. And it might get them into playing tennis later. And it's the same thing as 75 hard. If you get 10 people who go in the gym because they did it later on more regularly, okay.
Sure.
Okay. Well, you know, that's a huge thing. But yeah, I think the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It always cracks me up. I'm just like, hey, just do it tomorrow. And guess what? You're doing great.
We're just like, get my program. They're like, well, I can't buy it. We're like, get my free program.
Like, oh, yeah.
I know it's your interview, Kyle, but I got questions for you. I used to spend my last dollar, and this is not, I mean, it's not smart, but, you know, I did it. I would go teach tennis, make 1,200 in 2 weeks, working 8 billion hours for 15 an hour, and I loved it. And the only reason I even collected a check on it, otherwise I couldn't believe they were paying me to do it. Like, I'd get the checks so that I could go to a strength and conditioning coach from Georgia that was over locally in Norcross. And my buddy, my best friend at the time, he was in high school, and he wasn't working. He was playing lacrosse, and he's like, bro, I can't go with you for this. I got you. What is it, $600 for what? Come on.
Let's go.
I get you there. I spent my – oh, yeah, baby. I love that. I spent my last, you know, whatever, dollar on training over the years. Now, I know everyone's not like that. People are financially smarter. But guys, remember, like, if you find a good trainer and you need one, the best stuff I've gotten, I've paid for. And now, I've gotten stuff from people at Kyle's level as well, but I had to get to that level first.
Yeah.
I had to beg, borrow, steal. I used to show up at the gym and bring extra pre-workout for the stronger guys in the gym and be like, hey, you want to, just, can I jump in on this three, you know, whatever. Oh, y'all need subs? Y'all need protein? You know.
You were bribing them.
1,000%. Whatever I got to do. You want me to ride home? Like, what? Yeah, I mean, I don't care. Like,
You know, that's awesome.
Whatever you have to do to learn how, you know, four sets of 12 of this is, you know, whatever.
Dude, yeah, that was my story as well, because I was always, I was always just broke. And so whatever money I did have, I made sure I took care of my bills, which was like nothing pretty much. And then I would spend it on just like stuff to aid my training, whatever it was. And then I would just try to figure out stuff for free as best I could. But when I finally got a coach, that's when I first made regionals and I first made semis and like I actually started to succeed. Because other than that, I was trading that lack of knowledge for time. And I was just spending so much time to figure out how to do things when I just needed someone to help me. And so if I could have invested earlier, I would have.
100%. Now, don't get me wrong, those listening, that time he spent was invaluable too. My one of my bigger mistakes too was when I was a kid trying to find the most efficient way to do everything. That's kind of what I'm leading into. This isn't linear. Yeah. Like I'm contradicting myself in some ways too, because it's like at times you do need a coach or you need someone if you find the right person.
Yeah.
If you find someone that you think cares, that isn't going to say this will be $250 a month to give you the same program as everyone else. You know, someone who does or find that person who goes under that other top person. But I would say the trial and error are big too.
Yeah.
All the stuff. But the whole crux of this entire thing, guys. The you know what works? I ask all my buddies, if you can impart one thing to people who are in the gym for a month or two or a year who want to get big. You know the type. I mean, we were. The kids who are 18, 19, like, what can I do to look like this by 6 months from now and not 6 years? And my friend goes, you see what I'm doing? They go, yeah, you're doing rows, but then you're also doing, he goes, just do more of that. I hate to say, I'm sorry, guys. We broke up the monotony. We took pre-workout, and I don't always recommend that at all, but, you know, we found ways to make it interesting, but we just did the same stuff.
That's
When I switched it up, I didn't build capacity on anything.
That's it. You literally just do the same stuff.
Guys, it's tennis too. Like, that's every sport I ever did. You know how you get better at fighting? You spar and you go one, two, and you do it a billion times.
Yeah.
You just find ways to make it interesting.
Yeah. Not the old quote, but the quote by Bruce Lee. Like, yep. You're a man who's practiced 10,000 kicks, but has practiced kick 10,000 times.
It's it, guys. That's literally it. And there's no, I'm sorry, the only way out is through. And I'm not just saying that to people listening. I'm reminding that to myself. Yeah. We're not until I'm in the Martin compound, and then I'll chill out. And really, are we gonna, Kyle? When is your last name Bernier?
It's French. Bernier? You can't say Bernier, or you can just say Bernier. Either way,
Bernier. But then if you're fancy, Bernier. Okay. I say until you're in the Bernier compound and you've got this. But honestly, when you get there, guess what? We won't be done then. By that time you have the coping mechanisms, you have all this, and you're on the treadmill. But it's going to be a treadmill that we like, with a view we like. We're all on a treadmill at some point, but let's get on a treadmill that is not a slow, desperate. What is that quote? You don't want to men who lead lives of quiet desperation.
Most men lead lives of quiet desperation.
When I'm younger, I'm like, sissies. Guess what? It's real easy to get there.
It's a real thing, man.
You make one or two, trying to be someone you're not, I've tried to do that. Yeah. Try to, and you a couple of those decisions, you feel like you're leading a life of quiet desperation. But I'm here to say too, guys, you can deviate from that.
Yeah.
Look at Kyle, look at me. Like, and people go, well, I have kids, not you can still.
You know what you do?
Teach your kids how to be courageous,
yeah,
and do what they need to do. Like, and that's a course that's easy for me to say, but like, that's what you're doing with your kid. I see it.
That's it, man. Yeah, that's I'm glad you said that too, because I think a lot of people do make excuses like that. They look at their life and their circumstances, and they have the story in their head already that's like, oh, this is going to be hard. and then they have their circumstances that definitely make it harder. And so it corroborates that story that, oh, this is going to be too hard. I'm not going to be able to do it. When in reality, it's just an excuse because you're scared. You're just scared.
I have clients who do, and I guess not now, but people that, I guess they're not clients anymore. They're friends, former clients who are friends who I'll see at the gym, and they'll try to do a 12-inch box jump where I know they could do 24. And when they first do it, they're emotional. They can't believe that. In my head, I'm going, you could do it with one leg, but I know it is a big deal.
Yeah,
like it's just the story, and it makes sense. But I didn't realize, like, not everyone has our brain. If we lived their life, we would be them.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to what you said earlier, where it's like, I actually really want to hit on this because this is something I think about a lot. Is, you know, for a long time when I was pursuing CrossFit relentlessly, I felt like, because other people would say this to me or hint at, I felt like I was almost a little bit of a loser, almost like kind of wasting time. People thought all I was doing was just working out. Really, like, you know, I didn't have any drive or motivation. And what I've realized is that really I was actually like creating this set of qualities you can't put your finger on and touch that carries over into a lot of other things. I'm not going to say you're saying perfect, but the carryover is definitely there. You kind of said that earlier where, like, you've gone into other areas of your life and realized that all that time wasn't wasted. It wasn't a failed goal. It wasn't, you have this ability, this, like, you can just pull it out of you to do things. You can will things.
I said to myself, God, am I another bro with a haircut now? Is that what I've become? You know, I mean, is this what we're doing? Like, oh, I'm a trainer and I do this and I do, you know, and I'm sure, I mean, my parents know now, but like, was raised to make sure you go to school, you do this and this, you pursue whatever. And then now, you know, your kid's going and working out twice a day and then teaching tennis, doing whatever. Okay. Well, what? Okay. But it really did. And there are a lot of people in our generation who've done that, who can help, yeah. I think people have told both of us that, like, for the fitness industry is huge, people, this and this and this. Community is everything, bro. I mean, it extends to everything. What is the MVP, merging vets and players? I have an ex-girlfriend whose mom is a therapist, and she works with a bunch of vets, and not like Ali G said on the Sacha Baron Cohen, veterinarians, but like veterans from the, it's like, oh, you're a Vietnam vet, you're a veterinarian. They're like,
come on, man.
It was like veterans, military, ex-military guys who are trying to assimilate back in society, and ex-pro athletes who are doing it, and they get them together and they go spar. Uh-huh. Or they go injure each other's head, hopefully body spar. They go do something athletic, but it's like, you need that. Yeah. And it has to be something tough. Someone listening to this, you can plug someone in there who's lifting or training people. There's just so many areas this extends to.
Yeah.
And that's all we need is coping mechanisms, brother. What is it? The absent, I saw this on IG, like we all do. Happiness isn't the absence of problems. It's the ability to deal with them.
Oh, dude, that's so good.
Yeah. And by the way, again, for those of y'all listening, do y'all want to be happy all the time? I don't want to be happy all the time. People go, oh, what's your number one goal? To be happy. Oh.
Yeah, you just walk around, just everything's perfect all the time. It's like, okay.
Yeah. But, and I just, that's just the number one goal of humans, I think, should be to go through all the emotions, to go through the experience, to feel the feelings.
Yeah, Alex Ramosi actually talks about this. I don't know if you know who he is. I'm a huge fan of him right now because he talks a lot of business stuff. But I think I've heard this from every wise person out there. It's like, people want to be patient, or they want to have discipline, or they want to have courage, all these things. And it's like, they're not willing to go through things that create that in you. They want it to be blissful. I'm guilty of that.
But
when you go through those things, you really do become that person. It's just really hard getting.
Because like you said,
and the way that we went, at least for me, we all know these people too. Mitt, you may be one of them. Some people go, oh, look at me, and people know me pretty well, not super well, and go, oh, you're super self-motivated. It's always this. I've always been someone, and again, I hate admitting it, but I was someone who I needed a little kick in the butt to start, but my catch-up speed was unreal. Yeah. I'd start late on that race, but I needed a little kick in the butt, and I needed my community. I needed a couple people that I'm chasing once I get into something that I truly want to do, and then I just let me be there towards the top. And then I'll go lead all these other people. But, like, that's, you got to have that. And I think that's what you and I, and hopefully people we connect each other with and meet through our journey provide. And that's, you only, another quote I heard I thought was great. Someone asked Conor McGregor's coach, the fighter, asked his coach, John Kavanaugh, what is the purpose of life? Like, what he thought the purpose, and he goes, struggle. Is it?
Wow.
But again, it is though, bro, right? It like the literal, like all things beautiful, it is struggle. If you don't, you know, of course everyone says, oh, you know, without struggle, there is no progress, or the 50 Cent quote, yeah. You know. Without joy, rain, pain, like it's true. You have zero perspective.
Yeah. I often say this too. Like, at least for me, and I think a lot of people do, sometimes you can romanticize, like, I'll give you an example. Like, say you're at some sort of seminar and a guy pops up on stage, tells his story, and he's like a POV veteran, like a prisoner, POW veteran, prisoner of war. And he tells a story and all these things that happened, and it's crazy. And then he's talking about everything that came from it, where he's at now and the success he's having. And there's a part, I think, everyone, where we almost romanticize that. We're like, oh, dude, I want to go through that. I want something like that to happen to me. I want to be successful. But if you were to go back in time into the exact moment when he was going through that, he would look at you and be like, I don't want to be here. Like, get me out of this. And so when you're in the middle of whatever's going on that's really hard, you have to think like, okay, there is another side to this. And I'm in the middle of that story and that.
Yep.
And I just got to walk through this process.
That is so hard to pull. It, Kyle, like, okay, the POWs, guys, it was a shit sandwich. He had zero hope. It's, again, talking about the guy from Marcus Luttrell, the lone survivor, like, oh my God. Until he... You know, the main, you know, until he met all these people and after that movie and after Mark Wahlberg and Peter Berg saw and said, oh, we need to make this movie. Like, no, this is, and again, the greatest moments of my life, I feel like were in the trip, being in the trenches with my boys or my girls, you know, tennis, we had both sides. Like there are people, you know, I know what, you know, I only know them by how they smell when they're sweaty. Like we're in our fifth shirt of the day, like, yeah. And that's intimacy, bro. Like, you know, so if I had to give any advice to someone right now, really going through it, go help some. Of course, again, it's hard. It's I try not to say it lightly because it's easy to say this. The hardest thing to do is to get out of bed and do this. You know how many times I went in the parking lot during the depression days and then just drove back home. But then by the time you go in then you're good. Like, you're good, and you're good, and then you keep it rolling. But help someone, or, I mean, if there are three or four things, exercise, yes, but for me, I jump in that river. I jump in the hooch. I check the E. coli count, make sure it's low. You know, free ice bath. I've got the horse trough too. You know, I got that a long time ago, but. I don't want to spend $200 every time at the QT getting enough ice to truly, you know.
So you cold tub when you're in a bad headspace?
Yeah. Or now I do it. I've done it for maybe 15 years, and not saying I did it before anyone else, because I feel like people have been doing this forever. People have been doing this in cultures forever.
Yeah.
But like, just to avoid it, just to have my daily check-in for my mental health. I don't even do it thinking about recovery. Like. Yeah. Spoiler, guys, there are things that help you recover a little better, but the main things, eat, sleep, sorry. Honestly. Like other stuff, okay, yeah, it'll do it, it'll help, but like, for my mental, if you're feeling depressed, basically try to become present. Do something that's not super easy that forces you to go, oh my God, holy shit. Okay, is it almost done? Okay, I'm done. You weren't thinking about your problems for 2.5 minutes there.
Russia.
Okay.
And you feel amazing.
Unreal. It's not a lot. And guys, Kyle, did you like taking ice? Like, I hated cold water before this.
Yeah, I always did it because I knew afterwards I'd feel amazing. But during it, I was like, I want this to be over. This kind of sucks.
So again, the life, not just the life being linear thing, but the wandering back on the path, guys. I tried to do the cold showers. And I did, you know, I'd do it for 10 seconds at the end of a hot shower. Yeah. 10 was enough. And by the way, that was harder for me than it is now to get in the hooch in December. By the way, it wasn't just me, it was me and the boys. It has to be the boys.
When you go, I want to go with you.
Kyle, done. Every Sunday now. And that's an open invite for anyone listening too. But Kyle, definitely. And also, I got to get you in there in the fall and the winter with the boys.
Let's go.
We'll go get the speaker out, you know, if we feel like just listening to the water or whatever. But it is there are times I got in there years before. And my friend's like, oh, we're going to stay 10. Stayed about 30 seconds and got out of there. No one knew. I was a huge puss. Like, it's not linear. There are times I started it, stopped it, put maybe one thing of ice in the trough, not you know, 30, like, and just you it doesn't have to be some seminal moment of, oh my God, you did it, now you're perfect,
right?
Just keep trying. And anything I've ever wanted to do, it never occurred to me that I would, like, if I wanted to do it, I'm eventually going to get there.
Yeah.
Like, and the same thing with the ice bath, and that, you know, I imagine you too, but I don't know. I mean, you, this is not your profession, like, to get where you've gotten.
Oh, dude, that's actually what I was going to say next. Like,
I don't know.
I had to sort of accept the fact that it wasn't going to be perfect. Like, I was going to make a lot of mistakes, like all of these, like the whole not linear thing. I just had to pretty much accept, like, in my mind. Because what I've done is, like, I was like, I'm going to post 3 times a day on all platforms, no matter what.
Have to.
Well, then it's like, well, sometimes life happens. Like, I have my son for the day, and I don't have time to edit content. I can only do 2. And for a long time, I was like, oh, no. Like, my business is going to come to a screeching halt if I don't post twice.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, I still posted. So that's a win. Like, I'm still moving in the right direction.
1 to 2 is a huge win. But again, I don't take that lightly when you say it, because, like, we then, guys, and we're like everyone else. Kyle and I will lay down in bed at night and go, what would it have been like to look at me as my dad, like through my dad, you know, through me looking at my dad through those eyes? I'll sit there and go, because as critical as we could have been of our parents, God, like, just to have parents that feed, the fact that we're here, when fed us, like didn't let us drown in the bathtub every night, like. That, like what? Didn't leave us at the store on, like, their worst day? We're like, oh, God, I could just, you know. No, I mean, it's, and now you're thinking, okay, I you can't, that's, you know, Kyle's talking, not posting 3 times a day. You're thinking, my kid's now looking at me, looking at my phone. How's this going to impact, you know? I think of the same stuff, and I don't have kids now, but I mean, I love kids. I teach them all the time, and I certainly want enough. And that's another one, being a strength coach. If you're not already, like, where you thought you should be when you were much younger by this, like, bro, I used to hate my birthdays. Not as a kid, but as a teenager. I'm like, by 13 or 14, I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to already be top 50. I'm 75. Oh, I'm supposed to. Duke didn't give me a letter yet. You know, Valdosta did. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I used to hate it. Now, just go to dinner with my buddies. It's, oh, man, I'm here. I'm still here. Wow. I'm way more chill at 34 than at 24. I thought it was over.
Wow. Well, so tell me this: what's next for you? You know, what are your next goals? Your big goals?
I think the next big goal, I want to continue teaching tennis and teaching my clients. I teach mainly in the Johns Creek area now, and I mean, yeah. I'm full. Again, this. I'll say it. Full disclosure. Look, you know, I'm at the Martin Manor. I'm at my parents' house. I didn't. You know, I've had apartments, condos. I envisioned my parents being in my house at 34. I'm saving up to get a car. I'm taking Ubers to go teach these lessons. I've had cars. Like, I didn't have some. Like, I didn't envision
this happening by this point, but guess what? I accept it. It is where we are, whether it's from our decisions, you can't do that victim mentality stuff.
Can't, dude.
Because you will never correct it. You'll never correct it. But it's like 34 again, like I meet people I teach, people I'd love to connect with, meet a woman. And then I go, I'm going to Uber over there and hang it. Everything that's on my mind is just 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
To provide great value for these kids, for these adults. Because, and again, like I imagine it is for you with training clients, like I find a lot of joy and a lot of purpose in my, teaching these life lessons through tennis. I'm a part of these kids and adults' lives every day, and I get paid enough for it to build up and save, and get a car by the end of this year, by this winter. So that's what's next, Kyle. Get me a little Toyota Camry. And it reminds me of when Conor McGregor this is before he got big. He was eating blueberries in his girlfriend's apartment. And he's like, these blueberries are so good. And they're like, Conor, do you have a car? He's like, I'm sharing my girl's car. She takes me everywhere. He's like, I just had enough to get blueberries. He's doing that. Conor didn't have enough to get, a burger, steak. Wow. And he was still the same, And
man, that's so encouraging, dude. Yeah, see, I am really glad we're doing this podcast today.
Same, brother. Same.
You and I are in the exact same boat. Like, full transparency for people who maybe aren't aware of, like, the scenery here. If you can't tell, it's like really nice house. Like, I have a friend who's letting me stay here for free because I'm in transition. Hey, let's go.
My dad came through the door once or twice. Like, what's he my 83-year-old dad was going for a walk. Like, no, you're okay. You're in transition. Take me to. I want to. These are things I don't know.
Yeah. I'm in transition right now where my ex and I were not together, and so like I had to find a place to stay. And so fortunately, a friend from the gym is letting me stay here. But like, people will see me on social media. I've got 55,000 followers. That's nothing to scoff at, but it makes it look like I'm a smashing success. And it's like, I'm not making a ton of money right now. I'm working in a restaurant at night, and that's really hard. I'm dad duty 3 times a week during the day, and trying to balance working out and still training for CrossFit, but also running a business. And like, it's really hard. And like, you're in it too. It's like, it's that grind. But like, I love what you said, where it's like, you have to leave it in the past, all your mistakes. You can't take that victim mentality. That's why I named my business Strain Forward. It's like,
everything's in the past.
You got to push forward. You have to.
To quote again, RIP Mac Miller, I'm tripping, but I'm falling up.
Hey, I like that.
Hey, like, yeah. And I'm pretty sure Marcus may have told me that one too. We both listened to Mac Miller a little bit back in the, like, I mean, like everyone, my coach was telling me about, he was like, Johnny boy, you're big. My tennis coach, my former tennis coach is South African. So yeah, I hit him on WhatsApp all the time. Like when, if it's night and 11 or 12 hits, just know I WhatsApp my coach. And he's like, Johnny boy, it's 6 a.m. I've made 5 moves. You're going to bed, champ. Get to work. That's jumps awesome. On me. And he's like, you know what your problem is, boy? I tell him what my problem is. What's my problem? And he's like, you define yourself by validation from these people and money and this and this. And he's like, you think you're too good to work at McDonald's, boy. And this was a while back, and I go, you're damn right. Yes. I was a borderline pro athlete. He goes, nope. I go, because my coach is pretty successful now away from tennis. And I'm like, so you'll work at McDonald's right now. And he goes, if I lose it, yeah, tomorrow. Give me my 600 US. Let's stack the hours up. He goes, my friends will be my friends. My wife will still be my wife. I don't care what car. If it's my $10, that's my $10. I am who I am, boy. And he goes, that's my confidence. And he goes, I'll valet a Hyundai Sonata from 2003 at the STK. He goes, I'm not like y'all. I'm not a pretender. I'm a contender. And I'm like,
dude, this man's preaching.
This is my, he's like, I have the same confidence when I have negative 100 in my bank account as, if I have 100 grand, 200 grand, like, and it reminds me, and you tell me if this is true, Kyle, I have clients from tennis, from when I used to personal train. These guys are doctors, lawyers, all this stuff. And they go, God, what I would give to have your skill, or like this or this or this. And I'm going, you make 600K a year. You make 2.6. What are you? You're 6'3". Your wife's gorgeous. What are you talking about? They mean it. They're sitting there like, no. I'm just, you know, that it's, grass it's, is
that,
always
that human condition, man. That constant comparison. Constant grass is greener somewhere else. Okay, man, your coach is awesome, dude.
Hey, we'll get him on this one day when he comes in. I mean, either from South Africa when he comes. That's a guess, Kyle.
Dude, so actually, I went to South Africa a few years ago. I've been to Cape Town.
I want to go. I've never been. I'm supposed to have gone there a billion times.
So beautiful, man. That place is incredible.
Hey, if you would, did you have a connection there or did you just go visit?
So I was going for a competition, and actually the girl I was dating at the time was from South Africa, from Cape Town where we were competing. So, and she made the competition as well. She qualified. So we went there together, competed, and then hung out for a few weeks. And it was
That is, again, some very important people in my life. My coach and a few others are from South Africa. So that's a very cool connection. My coach is from Johannesburg. I've never been. That is so if I go in the future, you might have to be someone I call and be like, no, you're coming too, Kyle. Let's go.
Yeah, I would love that.
Bro, I
want to finish with this though, because I like what he said, where he would 100% be willing to work at McDonald's.
And he almost did, Kyle. Do I have two more minutes, you think?
I'm not
going to name a name, you know, because it's his story to tell. But my coach, when I was 16 and he was my coach, I just thought he was some broke tennis coach coming over here, pro player, whatever, with an accent. I'm like, hey, he's a good looking dude with an accent. Hopefully you can impart some stuff to me. And he did.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had been a multimillionaire in real estate by like 22 or 23, had a bad divorce, lost a ton, wife and kid went to Australia, you know, where his wife's from. He's from South Africa. And then he was over here looking at properties, commercial properties to buy, and realized what was going on and just went, all right, I'm going to get a Hyundai Sonata for 800 US and I'm going to go live at the extended stay. I'm not going back to South Africa. I'm going to stay there for 6 months and I'm going to go teach tennis starting tomorrow. I'm going to call my old boss and ask him if he has a job. And when I met him, he was in the middle of it. Never said a word to me, never said a word to anyone. Made about 120, 140K, quietly ate, you know, just did his work, did his crying at home. And then he went back and did it 2 or 3 years later. He did it. And he got, and I never knew. And he waited till he did it. And then he goes, that's what I did. He gets me on the phone. He's yelling on WhatsApp. Like, that's what I did. And I'm like, I go, why didn't you tell me? And he goes, because I make the sun shine, boy. It's not my job to tell you my problems, boy. I'm like, when you have people like this, how can you, like, he gives me 10 minutes a day?
Dude.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was, you know, full transparency, it was actually really humbling for me to get back into serving, because I felt like serving was beneath me. And man, it's actually been—it's kind of funny. It's been one of the greatest things, like getting back into serving. I make good money where I'm at. I actually really enjoy the people. I really enjoy the people I work with. So it's a great social aspect you're talking about. It's like it's been the perfect job for what I've needed. And I'm so glad I stepped into it, because honestly, I didn't want to. I was like,
Kyle, it's meaningful. Like, it's easy to say you're above that because you've done it. You know, you've done it. You've gone to here and here. You have specializations. But, like, there's a certain power in not even hesitating. Just go. And be like, no, I'm still this dude. Like, you save lives every day, bro. You save lives on social media through people you connect with helping people in the gym, with helping them cope with their lives through. And, you know, life's not easy. Your workouts aren't supposed to be easy either. So you do that. And then the customers you have, you have no, you know, and maybe you do have an idea, because I feel like you've got that kind of sense. you know, people you see, if you just stopped showing up, their lives might, you know, they might go, oh man, like this is my dude.
Yeah.
Like you have some meaningful professions.
That's powerful, man. You got some really great perspective in that, dude.
I appreciate you, brother. You are the absolute man, and I look forward to more hours on the line with you as well, and a definite ice bath soon.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. So whenever you go, hit me up because I want to be there. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, Kyle. I will hit you up.
That'd be so much fun.
Yes, sir.
All right. For y'all out there listening, thank you for tuning in. You guys are great as always. This has been John Martin. By the way, that's an awesome name, John Martin.
I appreciate that, brother. I you got the same thing. You got the KB. Yeah, that's perfect.
Where can people find you on Instagram?
Or
on
my full John DM7. My middle name's David. So John, JONDM, and then the number 7.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, you guys go hit him up. Give him a follow. Reach out to him. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you next time. And as always, keep moving forward.
Yes.